Hi everyone and welcome to Takedown for Torah number 185. Today on the 4th day of August, the 12th day of Av, I hope you all are well. I wanted to share with you a quick idea, might not be 10 minutes, about Parshas Vayeschanan. I don't want to promise anything, it might be 10 minutes. And at the same time also let everybody know that for the next couple of weeks, probably we'll be doing a lot of repeats. I hope to get away a little bit and we'll be pausing with the grueling Takedown for Torah. It's grueling for you, it's grueling for me. So we'll probably be scaling back, and there might be some repeats over the next couple of weeks, and then we'll be back with a vengeance. Okay, so this week's parasha is Parshas Vayeschanan, and there's a lot, a tremendous amount in this week's parasha. Really, there's a tremendous amount in all of the parshas of Devarim, because as we said, it's Mishnah Torah, it repeats so many things in a very compact way, and so each parsha has a lot to talk about. I wanted to refer to one specific anomaly. You have Moshe giving a very long speech about a whole variety of topics that come up, and in the middle of his speech, in this week's parasha, it says, Oz Yavdil Moshe Shalosh Arim Be'Evar HaYarden Mizrach HaShemesh. Then, we'll get to that soon, then Yavdil Moshe, Moshe separates three cities on the Transjordan, on the eastern side of the Jordan River, on the east, right? So what's happening is obviously they're going to soon be crossing westward over the Jordan into Eretz Israel. They're still eastward. Moshe is stuck on the eastern side of the Jordan. He will never enter into Eretz Israel. And so it says that he separated these three cities. So that a person may be able to escape who kills his friend. And we've talked about the idea of gullus and exile on a person who accidentally murders. We've talked about that a couple times in the past. The pasuk says, there's going to be ultimately six of these cities altogether. There are going to be three on the eastern side. There are going to be three on the western side. And that's how it's going to roll. Okay, good. We learn from there, the Mishnah says, that the fact that it mentions that there are going to be three in the east and three in the west, that Ad Shelo Nivcharu Shalosh Be'Eretz Yisrael Lo Haya Shalosh Shebe'Evar HaYarden Koltos, that until they set aside the three in Eretz Yisrael itself, the three on the eastern side of the Jordan that they had already previously set up, those were not going to act as refuge in such a situation, meaning you needed all six. So that's interesting, because that means he would do three on the eastern side of the Jordan, but the other ones, obviously, we would need to go and settle the land, conquer the land. That would take another 14 years. It would be a long time till the rest of those cities would even be relevant and useful, and yet we find that he goes and he gets a Yavdil Moshe. Moshe gets up and sets up these three cities. And so the Abarbanel says that the reason is because he was reinforcing to the people that this journey will be over soon, right? The journey will end in Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't going to be there, but he was showing that, listen, I'm doing part one of two because it's part one of two, and you'll soon see part two. And so that's why he was makbid. He was very careful to start now. Okay, that's the idea. Rashi says, though, Oz Yavdil, Nosan Lev, Lihios Chared Ledavar Sheyavdilein. He was focused to make sure that he would get this done and they would be separated. B'alpha Pisha'inim Koltos, even though they don't work, Ad Sheyavdil Osan Sheveritz Kanan, Amra Moshe, Mitzvah Sheyav Shalakaima Akaimena. If I have a mitzvah to do, even if it's not going to yet be effective, so I'm still going to try to do the mitzvah. Now, that's really interesting. The Abarbanel made it sound like, I don't know, maybe it's not a mitzvah. But in spite of that fact, it's a symbol. It's a symbol that they're going to be able to go into and conquer Eretz Yisrael quickly, and you'll have the first three, and then you'll have the next three. Rashi says, listen, it's a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah which has an upshot where it's going to be a useful mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah. So if there's a mitzvah that comes into my hand, I have the opportunity to do it, I'm going to do it. Okay, so Abarbanel says, maybe it's not a mitzvah, but you do it anyway. Rashi says, it is a mitzvah, even if it doesn't have any pragmatic effect. Could be reading a lot into this, but Rabbi Nebachia has a slightly different expression when he says, "V'afal pi sheyeda Moshe shlo hayu arim elu koltos ad sheyavdilu shalosh be'eretz Kanan." Even though he knew that none of these are going to work, and he's going to separate three cities, and he's going to designate them and do whatever he has to do, make signage and all the things that had to be done with these cities. Mikol makom rotza lehishtadel afilu b'chatzi mitzvah. He wanted to be involved even with a partial mitzvah. In order to add to his totals. So we learn a great inspiration about mitzvahs. And so the way he phrases it is really nice. It's not just, as Rashi says, a mitzvah she'efshar l'kaima akaimena, a mitzvah that I can do, I'm going to do. But Rabbi Nebachim also articulates this notion of a chatzi mitzvah, There's a half a mitzvah. It's not a whole mitzvah. It's not going to get the job done, not only because it's not practical and it won't have an upshot because nobody will be able to use these cities, but even more so, you don't even have all of the cities that were supposed to be designated. And so it's really chatzi, and you're going to ask yourself, what's the point? And that's exactly what Moshe is coming here to address. There was a Mishnah in Avos Reb Nason that the Chavetz Chaim quotes. Mishnah says, Hu haya omer, al tirchak atzmecha mimida shein lo kitzvah. Don't avoid doing something that has no end, and a malacha that has no conclusion. What's a comparable to this? A person who goes and takes like shovelfuls of water from the sea, and he puts it on the beach. So guess what? The sea will not seem or appear at all to be deficient once you took out that shovelful. And not only that, but the dry land is still going to be the dry land. You've done nothing. And so somebody who saw this guy doing this, saw the guy, he was all dejected, he was all depressed because he was doing a useless job, to which somebody said, listen, but you're getting paid for it. But you're getting paid for it. Now, well, that's not the most inspirational message, but it's a message, right? It's a message that although we might not find the meaning or the ultimate meaning in every single thing that we do in every single moment of our day, we do it anyway because it's important. It's adding up towards something else, and we get that when it comes to the rest of our lives. But here, you have an opportunity to take something, and even if it's not as much as theoretically could be taken, it's still something. It's like the person who has the shopping cart at the department store with the shopping spree for 10 minutes, and he's frustrated. He says, for 10 minutes, what am I going to get to? I can't get to anything in 10 minutes. So are you going to go complaining? And you're not going to do that. You're going to do whatever you can in the 10 minutes that you can. I recently saw a guy who had one of these shopping sprees, and it was really smart. He hit, I think, 90 seconds, or maybe 2 minutes, and so he grabs this big, huge TV box, and he uses that as a sled. He takes everything else, like 100 iPhone boxes or a bunch of different things, and he puts it on the TV box, so he doesn't have to go back and forth, schlepping everything back to the source, so that it counts. And he pushes the TV box all over the floor with it like his little, I don't want to borrow the phrase Santa Claus, but like his little sled, in order to be able to take everything home. But this sounds like a simple idea, right? It sounds like a simple idea that you take what you can get, but we don't always feel that way. It's interesting. Moshe says, Az Yavdil. What's the context of Az Yavdil? It says, V'shamarta eschuka v'es mitzvosav v'sham nochim v'tzavacha hayom. There's a larger context here. Moshe has just finished saying, you shall observe the laws and the statutes that I'm commanding you today, so should be good for your children and for yourself after you, and so that your days be extended on the earth. So you're going to get good stuff. It's going to be great. Make the right decisions, do the right things. And then the Torah breaks for a moment, and it says, right after a little like a space of pause, and so indeed he goes and he does this. The Kli Yakar says, "Vezehu lashan Oz," and that's what Oz means. Ki shalom es Yisrael inyan zeh b'pasuk hakodem miyad asa hu halacha l'maisa. As soon as he teaches this in the earlier pasuk, he goes and he does it himself. B'chiyotze bo kadesh shemimeno yiru, so people will see from him. And he goes and he does something. It does a mitzvah, even if the mitzvah has no practical application today. It's not finishing, it's not completion. Now, you know, what would be a good comparison? It's hard to know because, you know, any Torah learning that we do adds to our knowledge base. So it's not a chatzi mitzvah, it's a complete mitzvah. But even if we could figure out examples where I'm not keeping the whole Shabbos or whatever level you're at, I'm not keeping the whole Shabbos, or I'm not doing this 100% of the time, whatever the mitzvah happens to be, even to be able to do it for partial time and to get partial credit, That's a very, very big deal. It's a great example, a question that's posed to a rabbi about a person who spaces out in the middle of Shmona Esrei. He's davening, and then suddenly he realizes, oh my gosh, am I still davening? I have no idea what's going on. So I have a choice. I could just like cut to the end and just, okay, I'll get it better next time. Or I could pick up in the middle and then make the best of what I have left. And what we've learned so far is Oz Yavdil Moshe. Moshe says that if you're trying to endeavor to be a person who is v'shamarta eschukav es mitzvosav v'sharnuchim v'tzavacha hayom, if you're trying to be that person, you have to get the philosophy of take what you get, and you can only sometimes get a little bit, but that's still valuable. And Oz Yavdil Moshe, the same way he separated, may we take all of those opportunities and do what we can with them. The Mishnah Navo says, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Hayom Kotzer V'Hamlacha Meruba V'Hapoal L'Matzelem. The day is short, and there's a lot of work, and everybody's lazy. V'Hasachar Harbe, but the reward is great. V'Balabayis Dochek, and the Balabayis, the owner, the foreman, is somewhat urgent. He has an urgency to him. And then he continues, he says, Hu Yaomer Lo Alecha Hamlacha Lugmar. But you have to remember, you can't do everything. You can't do everything. You can't do everything perfectly. And Zos HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe. That's the Torah we gave us. That's what he taught us. In Ozi Avdil Moshe, Es Shlosh HaRim HaEleh, he separates these three cities to show us that sometimes all you can get is partial credit. Have a good Shabbos.